This next poem is called Late in the Millennium. I say something here. I say when I was little, my father made me recite a book a month. And someone asked me, is that true? You know. And in fact, it was. When I was very little, he used to do this beautiful thing. He would pull a chair up to his desk. He would take like two or three dictionaries, put it on the chair, and he'd lift me on top of it. And he would open this huge rotten Bible, the King James, and he would make me read from it. And he would unwrap these butterscotch drops and pop them in my mouth. And I would have to read out loud doing this. And I remember if I read something wrong, he would say, "What?" And I'd be terrified. You know? I was terrified of the man who gave me the butterscotch drops. But he called it sweet learning. And so he would make me do this over and over again until I had, you know, certain passages, entire books of the Bible memorized. It has to do with that. He was a scholar. I am not. It's called Late in the Millennium. My father in heaven is reading out loud to himself Psalms or news. Now he ponders what he's read. No, he is listening for the sound of children in the yard. Was that laughing or crying? So much depends upon the answer, for either he will go on reading or he'll run to save a child's day from grief. As it is in heaven, so it was on earth. Because my father walked the earth with a grave, determined rhythm, my shoulders ached from his gaze. Because my father's shoulders ached from the pulling of oars, my life now moves with a powerful back and forth rhythm, nostalgia, speculation. Because he made me recite a book a month, I forget everything as soon as I read it. And knowledge never comes but while I'm mid-stride a flight of stairs or lost a moment on some avenue. A remarkable disappointment to him, I am like anyone who arrives late in the millennium and is unable to stay to the end of days. The world's beginnings are obscure to me, its outcomes inaccessible. I don't understand the source of starlight or starlight's destinations, and already another year slides out of balance. But I don't disparage scholars. My father was one, and I loved him, who packed his books once and all of our belongings, then sat down to await instruction from his God, yes, but also from a radio. At the doorway I watched, and I suddenly knew he was one like me, who got my learning under a lintel. He was one of the powerless, to whom knowledge came while he sat among suitcases, boxes, old newspapers, string. He did not decide peace or war, home or exile, escape by land or escape by sea. He waited merely, as always someone waits, far, near, here, hereafter, to find out, is it praise or lament hidden in the next moment?